Good morning, church. I have to learn how to use this thing. In Malawi, we speak without a microphone. So, forgive me, wherever I don't put it into use, fully, you have to understand me. The pastor has given me approximately 1 hour. I hope I want to use the whole 1 hour, unless when the Lord intervenes. Oh, you have the clock here. So it's 25 past 10. First of all, let me give you greetings from Malawi. Malawi is a small country, 14 million of population. We are overpopulated. But the people there are wonderful. They are people of love, and they love the Lord. Amen. My name is Henry, as you have heard from the pastor. Henry is a German name. It means ruler of the house. Which house, I don't know, whether it's of the father or my own house. I was born from a family of 12, of 8 ladies and 4 boys. I'm the first one out of the list of boys. And by the grace of God, I got born again in 1985, November, by God's grace. Originally, I'm from the Catholic Church. That's my background. For some of you who may have been like me from the Catholic Church, you understand what it means to be a Catholic. We used to proclaim that the Catholic Church is a universal church and that's the only church of God. That's the deception of the enemy. I was very bad, really bad. I wasn't a good person. I was the worstest of the sinners. I did all bad things. But by God's grace, He saved this man. Not through my works, not through my power, not through my prayer, by His grace. His unlimited favor. He saved me from those calamities. For a reason. When you are saved, you must know God has saved you for a reason. And a proper one for that. Maybe I should say a divine one for that reason. So, my first desire was to seek for the word of God. Because at that time, we are not permitted to touch a Bible. Not even touching it, not even reading it. We are given some booklets, small ones. They were called chitime in our language. Well, we are reading from that. The scriptures, our authorities in the Catholic had printed for us. But I thank God, God is very faithful. As on my way of pursuing for the word of God, I ended up into a Bible school. I never desired to be a pastor. If there's a thing I hated most, it's to be a pastor. Up to now, I don't understand why I am a pastor. I mean to be a pastor. It's not easy. I hated it. Because I saw my pastor, the difficult times he was going through. I hated that. But God is God. Can you say God is God? We cannot overpower Him. He spoke to me through different people. Somebody came to me to prophesy to me about obeying God to be His servant. I hated that person because I hated to be a pastor. But God found a way how He could penetrate to this man. He spoke to me personally. I remember I went to the mountain. I said, Lord, if I don't see Your hand, I will never leave this mountain. I choose either to die here or You must speak to me. That day I saw His hand. And the words were written, unto You there's salvation. I said, thank You, Lord. I went back home. I said, no, it's not enough. That is not God. I'll go back to the mountain. It's when now God gave me the calling on Isaiah 43 and Joshua chapter 1. So I said, I obey now to Your word, because God's word is the final authority. There's no question about it. So that's the testimony of me as a man, a single man. I'm married to one wife. Her name is Louise. I have 6 children, 3 girls, 3 boys. The first one a girl, second one a boy, third one a girl, fourth one a boy, fifth one a girl. The sixth one is a boy. People ask me, how did you do it? I say, I don't know how God did it. But it's lovely that it is like that. So, 1989, January 1 is when I obeyed completely going into the ministry. I was working. I love to work. My desire was I must work and support the ministers. Up to now, that is my strongest desire. I have to make money that I support those people that are working. Because I knew in my heart and my eyes saw that ministers of the gospel or Levites, they were struggling to go through in their life because of the gospel. So my desire, and it's my desire up to now, is I must make money to support those people. But God said, you are my Levite. I said, Lord, yes, thank you. But I want to help those people that are struggling. So the Lord said, begin from where you are. I began from nothing. But I've seen God, how he has been taking me little by little. Little by little. The small things, by God's grace, he has used me. I think they are to his glory. Nobody can glory into that. So, I've lived in the Yau area for 18 years. This is the 19th year. And there also, it needed God's intervention. Because I hated Muslims so much. I didn't like them. I've grown amidst them. I know how cunning they are. I hated them. It took God to prepare my heart. For 2 years, God was preparing my heart as I was living amongst them. Now, God saw that I was ready. He started using me little by little to penetrate with the gospel to the Muslims. The area where I am, Debbie has come there 4 times now. I can say 85% of the population, 500,000, are Muslims. And Islam is as worse as Catholicism. Those people, they are too far from God. And all the time I've been there, I've tried to see the beliefs of the Catholic and the Islam. They are one. They all believe in foreign gods, not our God. Actually, their Allah is a demon. It's not our God. It's not Jehovah. It's not the God of Abraham. Now, to reach out to such people, it takes God himself. It's not how anointed you are, but you need to demonstrate the love of Christ practically to them. It's not how much you preach, how strong you preach. It's how you live amongst them. Let them see Christ inside your heart, inside your house, inside your movement, inside everything, everything. The powerful tool is friendship evangelism. We have done what we could do, but eventually we find it failing. The second powerful tool is Jesus film. Jesus film, they come in masses to the Lord. But one thing they will never do is to leave the mosque and go to the Christian church. Why? They are afraid to be persecuted. You see, Muslims, they make a decision in a group, a cooperative decision. It's not one on one. You will never win them like that. Now for somebody to forsake his culture to go to a Christian church, automatically he's persecuted or she's persecuted. You are denied of assistance, you are denied of food, even to the point that they can kill you. I've kept somebody whose parents and uncle were running after him to slaughter him alive. I mean slaughtering by a knife. So I had to keep him undercover for 6 months as I was preparing him. Now he's a pastor. What I'm saying is, in the Muslim area, there is no shortcut and there is no instant, like instant coffee. You have to take your time. It's not a short goal area, but long-term area where you have to have patience and persevere. There are a lot of challenges and persecution. It's maybe the best way I can use. But when God allows you to be persecuted, there is a divine purpose. Persecution brings purity. It helps you to know how you are going to penetrate in a certain area. It brings patience. So, as we are there, what we have seen now, I've been in that area since 1992. The Lord is opening doors more and more. I'm very thankful at Shofar Church for her obedience to God's instructions and directions. I've been on partnership with Shofar since 2005, if not 2006. And the Shofar missions team have helped us quite a lot. Our biggest challenge in Malawi is how to go to some difficult areas whereby you don't have transport. You don't even have a bicycle. When I mean a bicycle, I mean a bicycle. A pastor spends weeks and weeks praying, trusting God for a bicycle. And when he gets a bicycle, he can do great works. He can reach the areas you cannot manage to go. But I'm very thankful at the men and women in Malawi that when they hear God's call and they respond, they are prepared to go even if there is nobody behind to say, I will support you financially. That's the nature of work that we are doing. Debia is my witness. I see these men, they go to do the work of the Lord because they are obedient to God to do what God wants them to do. What we do is to encourage them to say, God is the supplier. He can meet your need at any angle, at any time. Trust Him. Look to Him. This is what motivates me. That's what builds me up. We started Antioch Church in 1997, 27th March, when God said so. This is how it started. I'm going fast because I see the clock is going this upwards now. When God spoke and gave me the vision, preach in each and every village, I said, God, how can I do one man? He said, the people I give you, prepare them and send them off. I said, easy. I went through the Bible school. I used the Bible school materials to prepare them. So methodologies to prepare those people that God has given me. The vision is reach out to the unreached. So first Sunday, listen carefully, how Antioch started. It was me as a pastor, my wife as a church leader, and my children as the believers. That's how the Antioch started. Second week, one person came. Third week, two more people came. Third week, people started coming. Inside my house, it's still existing, that house. It's a tiled house, 9 by 5 meters. And the sitting room capacity is about 50 people. So by God's grace, that sitting room capacity got filled. So we started discussing, should we continue with this, moving out the chairs, moving out the mats? No, Pastor, there's a ground there. Can we use it? That's how the church started. The four pastors started training for 1 year. Those ones went out to reach out to other places. Today we are saying, now as I'm talking, we have 20 churches in Malawi, 18 churches in Mozambique, that is Tete province. We are reaching out to another part of Mozambique, that's Nyanza province, I think, if I'm not mistaken, very short with the 2 churches. And I see people love their God because our biggest encouragement is how people are committed to prayer. Prayer is the only sword that is helping us and trusting God for the things that we cannot even see, but we believe God can do them. Amen. Let me conclude like this on the testimony of the church. Antioch Church from the beginning to now, it's like a morning church. Not morning in the morning, but morning crying. Our call is based like that of Jeremiah. There is no time, and I repeat, there is no time we can recall we have been going through on a carpet, on a sweet platter, on good days, very few days. Mostly is afflictions, persecution. At that time, I was asking God, why God, why always, why every pastor, why? The Lord said, it's your call. You have to stick according to your call. So now, today's message to you people in Ceres is an encouragement. A message that I've got already confirmation by 2 people that this message is for Ceres, and it's an encouragement to this church. I believe at the end of the service, you appreciate to say, the Lord has visited my heart and has encouraged me. Amen. So I'm preaching from the Old Testament Genesis. Genesis, it means the beginning. I love the Old Testament. Why, Pastor? Because it's there for examples. If you have to follow examples, it's the Old Testament. Genesis chapter 18. I'm reading from verse 1 to 10. But once I finish reading, I'll go to my exercise book. I have my notes with me. I'm sorry I didn't send them to the pastor so that he could put them on the PowerPoint. But I'll try to control my speed. I'm very fast. I'm a fast speaker, like a parrot. But God is going to help me to control my speed. If I'm going fast, say, shh. The theme or the heart of the message, I've titled it, the heart of a Christian or a believer. The heart of a Christian or a believer. What should be the heart of a believer or a Christian? I'm reading from NIV Bible, Genesis 18, verse 1. The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre while he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day. Verse 2. Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. He said, "If I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, do not pass your servant by. Let a little water be brought, and then you may all wash your feet and rest under this tree. Let me get you something to eat, so you can be refreshed and then go on your way, now that you have come to your servant." "Very well," they answered. "Do as you say." That was what the visitor said. "Say, very well. We will come to sit under the tree and eat from you. Do as you say." I've repeated it because that word is very powerful and important. So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah. "Quick," he said, "get 3 sheaves of fine flour and eat it and take some bread." Then he ran to the herd and selected a choice tender calf and gave it to a servant who hurried to prepare it. He then brought some cuts and milk and the calf that had been prepared and set this before them while they ate. He stood near them under a tree. "Where's your wife?" they asked him. That is also a very important question to consider. "There in the tent," he said. Then the Lord said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son." Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, I thank you for this word. I pray that this morning you are going to minister to our hearts. You will fill the gap where we have missed, where we have not understood your God, where we have not done right. Lord, you help us, O God, to start again until we finish the rest. In Jesus' name, amen. I believe from Sunday school, we have been hearing these stories. But there is no scripture in the Bible, and I say there is no scripture in the Bible that you and I can say, I've read more than enough. Even if you read it 50 years, every time you read it or you listen to it, it's very new. It has a special revelation for that particular time. I've said the heart of a Christian or a believer. A believer is the person who gives freely, yet gains. A believer is a person who gives freely and yet gains. God promises that those who give generously will receive back more than they give. He blesses those who are kind and generous, whether it be in their financial giving or in giving of themselves. Listen careful. I'm not only talking about finances only. I don't want you to earmark me to say, this Malawian has come to talk about finances. I'm talking about giving generally. Either finances or yourself as a human being, giving yourself to others or to God. The New Testament teaches that we are stewards of God's gifts and must use them for his cause and for the benefit of those in need. Matthew chapter 25, verses 26 to 27. Remember when Jesus said on that scripture, "I was in prison, you did not visit me." And the other part said, "I was in prison, you visited me." So these two different people shall ask, "When did I see you in prison and I didn't visit you?" And the other one shall ask, when did I see you in prison and I visited you?" Then the Lord said, "In one of the little ones that you visited in the prison or in the cell, that was me." Too powerful. That word is very powerful. brothers and sisters, how many times do we think of the prisoners and we spend time to visit them, thinking when we visit them, we are visiting the Lord Jesus Christ? Think about it. That's today's message. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 2 and chapter 9 verse 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verses 2 and 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 8. I'm talking about the Macedonian church. The Bible talks of this church as being a church from the rural area, from the village. Let me maybe compare it with Sardis. I don't know much about this place. It's my first time I'm here. But it looks, this area is a downlooked area. People, they don't desire to be here. They say, that area, if you are there, what can you do? Nobody knows you. Let's consider that. If I'm right, I don't know whether I'm right or not. Then Paul talks of the Macedonian church, the church where city pastors could not go. What can they get from there? A poor church. But listen, what the Lord did in these churches of the Macedonian people. Chapter 8, verse 2, verse 5, verse 14, verse 24. They say this Macedonian church was rich in generosity. The church was rich in generosity. These two chapters, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9, reveal important principles and promises of Christian giving. Number one, we belong to God. What we have is held as a trust for our Lord. Verse 5. I'll read because it's very important that I must control my speed now. Corinthians chapter 8, verse 5. Let me begin from verse 2. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. Verse 5. And they did not do as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us, in keeping with God's will. Why the Macedonian church was rich in generosity? Number one, they gave their hearts, they gave themselves to the Lord. That's number one. Nobody can outwit God in giving. He's number one and will remain number one. So if you give yourself to the Lord, you are associating with somebody who cannot be defeated in giving. Then from the Lord, they got the power to give to his work. Are we together, church? Then, the second thing, what we see, we must make the basic decision in our hearts to serve God and not money. Let us not save money more than God. Let us save G-O-D, God. Not God, but G-O-D. Let us save God, number one. Then money will come, will follow us. I was privileged in 1996, I was in Stellenbosch. I was staying with another family. So I was ministered to a fellowship of women. There came another lady. She was complaining too much. She said her car was on breakdown. She was complaining. I said, Mama, why not give it to God? He knows what he can do. He said, no, Pastor. The same also when I was in Mpumalanga, I was staying in a pastor's house, my friend. His car, automatic car, broke down. So he was complaining. I said, Pastor, can we pray? God will intervene. He said, even if Pastor, you pray, but it won't happen at God's time. I said, so what? If it happens at God's time. So I prayed today. 2 days later, I was on the bus going back to Malawi. As I was on the bus, he forced me, said, Pastor Henry, I said, speaking, he said, can you believe what I'm going to tell you? I said, I can't believe because you are not a believer. I was so rough. Listen what he said. The Lord has given me a new car. I said, "Whoa, the Lord is very unfair to give you a new car." Do you know why I was saying the Lord was very unfair? Instead of thanking God for the situation he was going through, he was complaining. So the Lord was very unfair. He was supposed to give me because I was encouraging him. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, it talks about serving. It's impossible to serve two masters. You can't save money and save God at one time. You have to have one master. Point three. We give in order to help those in need. The reason we give is to support the people in need. Let me talk something. If it is queer or difficult, leave it aside. Do you know why you have a pastor here? Who knows that the reason why you have a pastor here? Can I say hand? You don't know. If you visit the Old Testament, in the book of Numbers, the Levite's responsibility was to stay in the house of the Lord and take the sins of the people to God. He was, can you stand up, Debia? I want to use as an illustration. This is Debia. Not that he's a sinner, but I just want to assume. Only for seconds. I just want to assume. He has sinned against God. Any type of sin, whether rebellion or what. Then I'm a Levite. So I stand in between Debia and God. So I stand on his behalf when I come in the front of God. I say, "Lord, we have sinned. This is what we have done. Forgive us." Because your scripture says, when you sin, you chase us away from your word. So then God looks at his Levite and forgives this person. Because of his man he has appointed. So this man is forgiven because of a priest. Then I'll take the word from God and give it to him. He goes home happily. That's the work of a Levite. That's why in the book of Numbers it says, a Levite has no inheritance in your between. God was talking to Moses. But the Levite's inheritance is me, Jehovah Jireh. Okay? So, you people, when you give your givings, tithes and offerings, you give to God by faith. Nobody has seen God. I haven't seen him either. But I'm privileged. I heard him audibly the way you are hearing me. I don't want to hear him again like that. It's terrible. So the Levite's job is to pray for you to God. You people, you go and work in farms, in factories, engineers, doctors, what. You generate money so that you can stand with the Levite to support him. You give your tithe to God, then God says, this tithe, I give it to my Levite. Okay? Then the Levite uses that money to support himself and his family. The tithe. T-I-T-H-E. Any tithe that you are supposed to pay, you are not paying because you fear the pastor, but you are giving reverence to God by obeying his word. So the pastor, without question, without fear of the treasure general, without fear of anybody, he has the right to that tithe. Use it in any way he can use it. Whether to buy a suit, a China suit like mine, or to give to his wife to fly to India, or to buy a new car, anything he chooses to. But that's not the end. There are offerings like the ones you give today, service offerings. Then there are some offerings you give those in need, the poor, the orphans. Okay? The life of a Christian is a life of giving throughout without retirement. There is no retirement in giving. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24, 25. The Bible says, there are some people that give and they prosper. Those that water others, they too shall be watered. Amen. A stingy church will never get blessed. But a church that stretches hands will get blessed. I'm very thankful. I learn a lot from Shofar Church. It's a church that stretches forth its hands to many people. That's why only this conference, There are many pastors from different areas. Malawi, DRC, Tanzania, UK, America, nationwide, Botswana. All that has been the responsibility of Shofar Church to fly us down. When I was in the plane, I said, Lord, thank you for Shofar. Oh, it's good to be here, to fly. You see, coming by bus, it takes 24 hours to Joburg. From Joburg to here, 12 hours. 24 plus 12, 36 hours. But it took me only 4 hours. I was already here, eating ice cream. What am I trying to say? The church, of course, needs some people who can give themselves to the Lord, and also they can give their services to the church. Point. We give in order to help those in need. Verses 14 of 2 Corinthians 8, verse 14. This is what the Bible says. At the present time, your plenty will supply what they need, so that in turn, their plenty will supply what you need. Then there will be equity. Can I repeat it, or it's clear? You supply what the church needs, then God will supply what you need. Somebody said to me, if you are busy with the things of God, God will be busy with you. It's only one person who said yes. I know it's too strong, it's very powerful, but that's the truth, you can't deny it. If you are busy with, okay, let's go to Matthew 6:33. The Bible says, seek ye the kingdom of God and its righteousness. Seek ye. Seek ye. Who is doing the seeking? You and I. We must seek for the kingdom of God and its righteousness. Then he, God, will add to us anything that we need. When people come to me for prayer, maybe a girl or a boy say, Pastor, pray that I have a good wife or I have a good husband. I say, go and read Matthew 6:33 and do likewise. When somebody comes to me and says, prayer, Pastor, pray me for money. I say, show me a verse in the Bible where people prayed for, even Jesus prayed for money. You have to trust God for money. Do what God wants you to do. Then God will give you money. Psalm 37, verse 4. It says, delight in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. What does the word delight mean? To do that what pleases God. I must thank my brother, Debia. He was assigned to pick me from Stellenbosch to here. Did you get the church money? Tell me. Tell the church. Did you get the church money to put the petrol in your car? He used what he had for serving God. You had to put in petrol to drive this black person to here, so that he can deliver the message for the people. And he was testifying to me in the road. He said, Pastor, when I put in petrol in the car, when I checked, I found that my money was excess by 1,000 rand. I was tempted to say, give me tithe of that. I was tempted, but I didn't say it. I was clever. Hello? Are we together? A lot of us, we grudge. We speak against God. Oh, no, no, no. It's mine. It's my car. It's my money. It's my property. It's my house. It's my carpet. It's my food. It's mine, 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 mine. Okay, I've got a word to accuse you. Psalms 24. The Bible says, the earth belongs to the Lord and its fullness. So what's the fullness of the earth? It's you and me. Even this suit I'm proud of, if the Lord says today, give it to Mr. So-so, I have to obey and give it out because it belongs to the Lord. I am only a steward of this thing. You and I, we are stewards of those farms. If the Lord wants to take them away from you, he will take them away from you and give them to me. Because I've got a desire to serve men of God by giving them cash. That is, if the Lord desires. Hello? So, who are responsible for the pastor and his wife? You are responsible for him and his wife. Dress him, feed him, change his car every 6 months, give him another one. He doesn't have to take his car, pushing the car, as I did with my car, pushing the car. These guys, they push my car when they're in Malawi, because the battery's worn out. They push it. Sometimes I press, I don't press. Amen. Is this message too bonny or too strong for you? I believe it's a good message. He hasn't told me anything. We have met here. But this message has been confirmed twice. I was struggling. I have two messages, both of them in the Old Testament. The first one is this one. The second one is the longest. It's this one. But the first person that confirmed this message, he was talking to me about certain things. I saw what he was talking was my message. The second person who has confirmed this message, that sister was talking here. That sister, she confirmed my message. She read also the scriptures I'm reading, 2 Corinthians 8. I said, Lord, that's the message for this area. At the end, I will tell you what's the reason why God wants this message to be taken serious. I'll tell you, because I've got an answer by God's grace. So, what we see here now is, we see, we give in order to help those in need. In chapter 9, verse 12, it says, chapter 9, verse 12, this service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. It's thanks. It's the way of saying, God, thank you that it pleased you to give me this farm. Thank you that it pleased you to give me two sons and a daughter. Thank you that it pleased you to give me a guitar. Thank you, Lord, that I'm able to play a keyboard. Thank you for that, Lord. We are struggling to have a keyboard. One brother bought a new keyboard here in South Africa and sent to us through these guys. Today the church is on fire. We dance. So we spent 4 hours in the church saying, thank you, Lord, for the keyboard. We didn't have one. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. And you know what? After we got that keyboard, many souls are coming to the church every day. I didn't know that this generation, the present generation, loves music than we old people. But I'm very thankful you people, the worship team. The last song you sang is an old, old song, but it has a scream. I enjoyed it. I picked God's voice. We must also sometimes remember those old songs. They are very good. So the Bible continues to say, on the Proverbs 19:17, it says, those people that help a poor person, they are lending to God. Proverbs 19, verse 17. If you help anybody who is poor, you are lending God. Just imagine yourself lending God, the owner of everything, lending him. If he wants to pay you back, you break. Galatians 2:10. To advance God's kingdom, we give because we want to advance God's kingdom. If the church in Ceres wants to penetrate the whole of this area and above the region, above the mountains, I've seen some lodges in the mountains, we should give that the gospel can penetrate all over. It can go to Worcester. It can go to Robertson. I know Robertson very well. I've preached to the black people there in 2004. Great things happened. I have two assignments to do, to preach to the Indians and the coloreds. Come rain or not, I must do that. The thing is, there's a vertebral column here we see in this gospel. Giving to the kingdom of God. Either you give yourself to prayer, either you give financially, either you go on mission teams and do what the Lord will tell you to do. Either you go and clean the pastor's house when he's busy praying for you at the mountain. I see a lot of mountains here. I think I must ask for God's favor that I move into here. Then I can live in the mountains like Elijah the prophet. Either you give to the poor, either you give to the services of the church, you offer yourself to clean the church, make everything ready, prepare maybe tea for the people after service, they can have tea after the service, so 4 hours by Pastor Henry. To store, to advance God's kingdom, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 14, Philippians 4, verse 15 to 18, to store treasures in heaven, and to learn to fear the Lord. Giving should be in proportion to our income. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2. Point number 5. Giving is seen as proof of our love. Verse 24. Giving is seen as proof of our love. I'll go quickly to 2 Corinthians 8, verse 24. Therefore, show these men the proof of your love and the reason for our pride in you, so that the churches can see it. When we give, it's a proof of our love to God. Those who don't give, they don't love him who told us about giving. Because the first one who gave his son, Jesus, John 3:16, only son he gave. The only son. Oh, I'm penetrating into the evening message. The only son, he was willing to give. And the son didn't say, He said, yes, I'm ready to go as a sacrifice, that you win these many souls. That's why you and I, we are here by God's grace. And must be done sacrificially. Giving is not compulsory, but sacrificially. Giving is not from the pocket. Giving is not from the hand. Giving is from the heart. Your heart must purpose, must desire, must make it a point to say, I am giving. So the Lord sees in the heart. The moment you make that desire to say, I'm giving in the heart, even before you put a pocket in the pocket, the Lord says, yes, that's a person I want to bless. And the reason why God blesses you more and more, because he knows you extend his kingdom, you reach more and more people in your giving. Verse 3 of chapter 3, 2 Corinthians 8, it says, for I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability. This word confuses me too much. They gave beyond their ability. How did they give? These people must have gone mad now. They gave until they were not themselves. They gave beyond what their thinking capacity, but as their heart purpose to give. Amen. I want to tell you a testimony. It's a true testimony. The car I'm driving now, somebody gave it to me. He paid for it. He took me to a testing center. He paid for it 40,000 rand. One person, he gave me a bucket. It was in the 2005. Then after some years, I decided I have to sell so that I buy 4x4 because it was my 4x4. I was struggling in the mud. So I needed something, a rhino, a big machine. So after selling it today, next day I got the 4x4. I paid the money. That's the one I'm driving now. He knows it. It's Toyota Surf 4x4. I like it. I go in ridges everywhere. It's off-road. There was a time I was tempted to sell it, to get money, to buy another one. The Lord closed all the doors. Nobody could buy it. Customers were ready to pay me, but the Lord closed them. I had to submit to the Lord and say, okay, I want to not sell it. You see, if that person didn't obey God to do what he did, up to now, I would be walking. When you come to the airport and say, Pastor, can you come and pick me? We travel on hiking. But I just drive, I'm there. Oh, go by this. Yes, we go by the rhino. Now I have a desire. It's okay, I have that car. But I desire for a better one. Can I tell you? No, I won't tell you. I won't tell you. But I desire for a better one. Pastor, just speak a bit. Low. I'm saying to the Lord, Fortuna is the next one. It's a big machine. I cruise from there to here, few hours. I go anywhere. We cross seas with Fortuna, not so. No. The Bible says in Psalm 37, delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. With that word, there's no boundary, there's no limit. God can do anything. Amen. He is able. But the key word is, delight yourself in the Lord. By giving to God, we sow not only money, but also faith. When you give to God, we are sowing faith, we are sowing time, and we are sowing service. Faith, time, service. That's reaping greater faith and blessing. Verse 5 of 2 Corinthians chapter 8. It says, And they did not do as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us in keeping with God's will. That was faith, time,
and service. When God supplies in abundance, it is so that we may multiply our good works. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 8. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 8 says, "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work." The last point, point 8. Giving increases our dedication to God, Matthew 6:21, and activates the work of God in our financial affairs, Luke 6, verse 38. Give and it shall be back to you. People shall give you in your hands. Does it say God? Maybe my Bible is wrong. Let's go to Luke. It's the last scripture. Luke 6:38. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. The other Bible, they say, people shall give you. Am I right? Do you have another version apart from NIV? What does it say?
Luke 6, verse 38. Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you.
Thank you, Pastor. So what measure do you give? That measure will be given back to you. What measure do you give? What measure of yourself do you give to God? What measure of your finances do you give to God? What measure of your time do you give to God? In Malawi, we have got what we call overnight prayers, whereby we spend the whole night praying, interceding, because of different prayer petitions. Many people, they run away from that. They say it's too heavy to spend the whole night praying. But if you say, let's spend the whole night watching rugby and drinking rooibos, they'll be there. I was watching rugby yesterday and I was supporting the French until the end. Despite the results. Okay. Today, we are through with the overnight prayers. Let's enter into fasting. 1 week. We'll be breaking in the evening. Some people will be very unfaithful. They'll sneak and eat during lunch hour. So if you don't remain faithful to God, to whom are we going to remain faithful? It's the same spirit that is going to operate in all directions. If you're not faithful to God, you cannot be faithful to your employer. You cannot be faithful to your employee. You cannot be faithful to your wife, even to your husband, because it's the same spirit. Can you check out what is our attitude towards God's scriptures, towards God's words? God's word is the final authority. There are some promises that God gave us some years backwards. Up to now, they are not fulfilled. The reason is not God. You are a problem. Engage in reverse gear and go where you started failing. And tell God, Lord, here I am. Forgive me. I surrender. I want to start again. The Lord is faithful. 1 John chapter 1. Verse 9 says, if you say, Lord, I'm sorry, he will forgive you. I've never found such a wonderful person like God, Jehovah, who forgives us now and now, now and now. The Bible says, if you say we are not sinners, we are a liar. The truth is not in us. In one way or another, we fail. The worst thing is to pledge a thing that you are not going to fulfill. The Bible says God is not interested with the fools who pledge and they never fulfill. The Bible says so. It says fools. I like surprises.
than promises that are never fulfilled. But we see God here. Whatever word he speaks, he fulfills, because he is faithful till the end. Our God is faithful. When I woke up this morning at 4 a.m., I said, Lord, thank you that you have kept me alive to this day. Do we say thank you to God in everything that he does? I don't know South Africa, but Malawi, we are full of grudging. When it is too hot, you say, no, it's too hot. It's too hot, it's too hot. When it is cold, oh, it's too cold, it's too cold. But the word says, give thanks in all times. And it's a song, I think so. Give thanks, no, 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 no. Give thanks, no, 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 no. Give thanks, oh, no, 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 no. No, 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 no. I'm sorry, I don't know the words. The Bible commands us to give thanks always to God. Anything that happens, it happens for a reason. You are not here to warm the seat. God has a divine purpose with you. And he can only fulfill when you submit, when you are here. The Lord loves you despite what you are or you look yourself as. The Lord loves you more than any other person. If you look yourself down, the Lord says, no, that's not the way I look at you. Jeremiah 29, verse 11 says, I have good plans for you. Not plans of evil, but good plans to prosper you. That's what the word of God says. God cannot create a man or a woman for no apparent reason. God created for a divine purpose, and that purpose will be fulfilled. Whether the devil is too hard on you, but God will surpass him, will break his neck until the reason for your creation is fulfilled. Ask me, Pastor Henry, how many times have you desired to run away from ministry? 4 times secretly. But every time I desire to run away, somebody comes to you and says, this is what the Lord said. You won't run away. You will not manage. Stand up. Go ahead. I cry. I cry so easily. I say, Lord, this is too much for me. There's no too much for you. A good measure is allowed that you can pass through. Hello? I believe the same measure of rain that brings God can bring in another area, he can bring the same rain in this area and make the harvest big, and you make a lot of money that you can worship with God with that money. God can allow your cattle to grow and increase and increase and increase. But remember his policies. God has got policies. God has got commands. God, obey them. You see what God will do. Deuteronomy 28 verse 1. The Bible says, this is what it says. I didn't plan because I'm through with my notes. But I still have my 10 minutes. Deuteronomy 28 verse 1. This is what the Bible says. I like it. It's lacquer. It's nice. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on earth. Will set you high above all the nations on earth. All these blessings will come upon you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. You'll be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. It goes. Why is it that the heathen are more blessed than the Christians? Because we don't obey our God. They obey their God, Satan. Let me conclude by this word. God loves us. He loves you the way you are. He loves you. God does not love us because we are righteous, but because he loves us. He uses us in our weaknesses in order to fulfill his plans. Let's turn back to his love and hear it and say, Lord, I love you. I submit your plan. Let thy will be done upon my life. Then you see something is going to break and to start manifesting. A friend of mine is a nurse. He said to me, if death is coming in a hospital to a patient and that patient doesn't accept that death, he's going to struggle a lot. But he should say, okay, fine, I accept, I'm dying. It's so easy. It's like stepping out of the door, going to another room. So we need to accept God's call when he says, obey me, obey me, obey me, obey me. We need to say, Lord, help me. Give me the strength to obey you. Paul said, I can do, it's in the letter to the Philippians, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's Christ, the one who accepted that day, who gives us strength to obey God's will. Hallelujah. I told you I was a sinner. On myself, I couldn't live sinning. Because at that time, sinning was very good. But by God's grace, by his power, dunamis power, he closed the gaps that I can become what I am. His son, walking according to his plans on this earth to testify to the people that God loves about him only, my master and my creator. Let me close by this question. I don't know what bothers you. I don't know what path you have taken. I don't know what troubles you are going through. But before God, there is no trouble. He is God who does the impossibles. Remember those guys when they were crossing Galilee? They were great fishermen with long experience, with big CVs of fishing. They said, Master, do you not mind that we are perishing? Jesus was minding. That's why he stood up, he arose and said, wind, stop. The wind obeyed. They went freely across. Maybe you are also struggling through the storms. The Lord is saying, the storm, cease, that you can cross. Can we stand up, church, please? Before I hand over the mic to the pastor, my boss is my boss today. I have to submit to him whatever he tells me. I don't know which path you are going through, what troubles you, what storms you are going through, how deep they are, how high they are. But the Lord is the master of them all. The only word you need to say, Lord, I surrender. Help me. Even inside your heart, even before you don't, even if you don't use a mic, God hears every voice and he knows each and every heart. He will come and pick you and help you out. Amen. Pastor, over to you.